Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. Today's episode actually comes from our Working Genius podcast, which we thought was so interesting it would be good to post it here too. We interview a husband and wife who run a terrific local business, and we debrief their working genius types and how it impacts their business and their marriage. Their raw reaction to the Working Genius tool was so accurate and insightful that we thought all of our At the Table listeners would enjoy it. And I hope you do. Here goes. I'm Pat Lencioni. I'm your host today, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. Hello, Cody.
How's it going, Pat?
Going just fine. I am so excited by this podcast. What's the title for our podcast? Did we decide?
I think we were
yet?
Just calling it our first man on the street. So I think that's the title, right?
Or that's
in
right.
this case, people man and woman from the street. People on the street.
Yes. Yep. So we have two guests here that we literally went out and said, come to our office and do a podcast with us. And they're very nervous, which is okay. It's going to be really fun. And they are Tom and Roslyn. Now, what you need to know about Tom and Roslyn is they own a retail store that we've mentioned before on our podcast, but we're going to mention it hard right now. It's called Venture, and they have the best stuff. We literally go in there before Christmas, and I have four boys and a wife, and I'll walk out with every Christmas present done there. And I go during the year. It's amazing.
Pat, you and I tend to procrastinate a little bit. And so what happens is it becomes a week before a birthday or a week before Christmas. And we just go in there and walk out with bags of gifts that our families love. And so you guys have saved us a handful of times. I'm so happy you guys get to join us on the podcast.
Wow.
Thanks for
being
here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this is our pleasure for sure.
Yes.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. And we're honored. Thank you.
The thing to understand about Tom and Roslyn is the merchandise, the stuff they pick is fantastic. I mean, they just have this knack, really a gift. And then the service, the people that work for them, we just love this place. And I really, and I mean this, I want everybody to go online to go venturegoods.com. Is that right, Tom?
That's it. That'll work.
Venturegoods.com. You are going to love it. They have this, the best stuff. And I would love it if they said, oh my gosh, Pat, all these people went to our website and bought stuff for people, because it is my favorite store in the whole world. So venturegoods.com. But that's not why they're here.
Thank you.
They're here because they are guinea pigs for us. This is a show where we're going to dedicate the entire thing. We talked before about doing 2 or 3 minutes with a person off the street. What we realized is it's going to take more time because it's really fun. And so we have done their working genius assessment, right, Cody?
Yeah, just we have them take it right before. We haven't even really talked about it because we want the whole goal of this is to do it live on the show and give people a feel for like, what does it look like to take the assessment, go over their results, identify with their genius type and their frustration type. And then we'll even kind of play around with like the roles that you guys have at your store and maybe even how this plays itself out in your marriage. So this will be fun. It'll be fun to explore all this.
Absolutely. Nice. So what we're going to do right now is a very quick overview for them because they don't even know what the Working Genius model is. That's how raw this is. So here's the deal, you guys. There are 6 kinds of activities or skills or gifts that are necessary to do any kind of work, whether it's opening up a store or running that store or launching a new product or running a massive corporation or planning a family vacation or running a church or a school. There are 6 different skills required to get things done.
Hmm.
Now, those 6 skills are also the 6 different, what we call geniuses, that people have, and they're God-given gifts. But the thing is, only 2 of those 6 are your natural genius. It's where you get energy and joy. That's the gift God gave you, that you're naturally good at those. Hmm. 2 of them are what we call your competency, your working competency. It's not your genius. You don't get a lot of joy and energy, but you can do it. It's you can do it for a while, and you can be pretty good at it. 2 of the 6, the last two are what we call your working frustrations. They're things that not only not give you joy and energy, they drain you of joy and energy. Okay? And so we have right here, how's that for a prop? We've got both of your reports about what your geniuses, competencies, and frustrations are. Now, I'm going to run through the 6 really quick. Really quick. Is that all right if I do that, Cody?
Yeah, go for it. And then I'll jump in for the report.
Very good. So the first genius is the genius of wonder. People that ponder things, they ask questions, they're constantly looking around and saying, why is the world like this? Should it be better? Is there something more? Okay. The second one is the genius of invention. They're the person that says, okay, I'm going to solve that problem. You asked a question. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to come up with a new way of thinking or a new way of doing something. That's the genius of invention. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, both of you have wonder and invention in your geniuses separately. We're going to talk about that in a bit. The next genius is the genius of discernment. That's people that have good gut feel. They just have good judgment. They see patterns, and they just always seem to have a really good innate intuitive sense of what the right thing is.
Hmm.
The next genius is the genius of galvanizing. These are people that like to rally people and motivate people and get people to do things, even if the people don't necessarily want to. They can push them and inspire them to act. And that's the genius of galvanizing. Both of you have that in your working frustrations, and we'll talk about that in a second. We talked about it a little bit before. Mm-hmm. The next genius is the genius of enablement, and that's a good thing. Enablement is when somebody comes to you and says, I need help. People with this genius say, I'm ready to help you. What do you need? Some people don't have that. I don't have it. I like to say, well, I'll help you in the way I'm good at, but I just don't know how to come alongside and give you what you need because that's just not something that's easy for me. Sometimes I still have to do it, but it's not a genius. And Finally, the last genius is the genius of tenacity. These are people that like to get things done, to see things through, to make sure things are finished, and to just keep pushing forward until the job is done, it's done well, and to the right specification. Okay, so this forms widget, wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. We actually didn't do that on purpose until we got to the E. And when we figured out enablement was the right word, we were like, we're going to find a T to make it widget because We're not going to make it widger or widgem or something like that. But so these are the six types of working genius. That's the overview I'm going to do for you. Now we're going to take you through your results and we're going to see what we learn.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
Okay. Right out of the gate, before I look at your guys' results, as Pat went through that, did you already start to identify like, oh yeah, there's at least one I knew that sounds a lot like me. Did that ring true for you?
For sure.
Yes. And I think Rosalyn has like five of them. So I've got one.
No.
So we make a good team between us.
No, I think we...
Well, this will be fun because we'll talk about, it's going to play out and probably the way I want to hear some stories about how you guys launched your store. And then we'll even talk about like the ways that you guys pushed each other to do this. So let me start with Tom.
I just want to let you guys know you should not be married based on your score. No, of course not. That's not what this is about. There's no types of, this is going to help us do that. So if you're scared, like what are our results?
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Well, and keep in mind, as we go through this, like Pat said, it's about the type of work that gives you energy and joy. You guys have done, launched a store. You've probably worked in your areas of frustration because you had to. And so it's not about what you're required to do at your job or in your homes. It's actually what the things that give you most energy and joy. So as we go through that, Let me take a look at Tom's report. So Tom, The thing that you scored, the two that categories that became working geniuses for you on the report are tenacity. So as Pat described, like, hey, are you the type of person that loves to accomplish things, checks things off a list, get things done? Does that resonate with you pretty well?
For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as that relates to opening up the store, the background is that my company that I was at got sold and moved to Michigan. And we weren't ready to move to Michigan. And it took me a while. I looked for other positions, but we wanted to stay here. So we decided to kind of do what I knew how to do, which is apparel. That's always been in my background. So we opened up Venture.
That's
saw
awesome.
A great opportunity. So and jumped at it.
It speaks to the second genius, which found its way into your genius category, which is the genius of invention. So when you were faced with, I don't know what's next, you loved coming up with probably the idea for Venture. Is that something that resonates with you? Do you like the idea of like, oh, there's a problem. I want to figure out how to solve it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just even, you know, coming up with a name and the concept and putting together a kind of a sell package so I could describe what this idea was to potential landlords. You know, just kind of figuring out a way to capture their imagination around what I had in my mind and going out and finding those people to kind of persuade them to come along on board and sign us up for a space.
I have to say this, if you go into the store, it's so clear that you're an inventor because the mix of goods there is not like any other store I've ever been to. You didn't say like, I'm going to go look at a store and I'm going to replicate that. It's very clear that you said, I have a vision and this is what I'm going to do. Like, tell us a little bit about what the what you carry in the store.
I'm a marketing major. Consumer behavior has always been a part of my background. I was for 13 years at Levi's doing a lot of marketing. And what I've really learned through that is you've got to be really focused on your customer and kind of inspire them to engage with your store, right? And buy. And so, you know, we are local neighbors. We can walk from your office here, either to the store or to our home. And we know this community well. And so we really wanted to give them what they wanted.
Yeah. And what we like, because we are the customer too. We kind of, when we opened the store, like Tom, I want to just scoot back a little bit. When he got laid off at the company he was talking about, we had two elementary school boys and he wanted to open the store. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I want you to get a job, not open a store. And so that's like the craziest thing in the world. And so we had to really talk about that and pray about it. And it really was like jumping off a cliff to do it. Like every moment to even signing the lease, like sitting outside of the parking lot going, are you sure we want to do this? Like, this is really scary because it was a five-year lease. So, wow. And then when we did open the store, Tom was really creative. He wanted to say the name, but he didn't just put venture. He just put a V out one day and then the E, and it's slowly coming soon. And so each couple days we revealed a letter so people would know it was coming.
See, that's great. Fun. That's so novel.
Really? Well, it was kind of a fun way to get people curious about the space and what was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and let me ask you this. So we're doing Tom's geniuses on his report, but I actually kind of want to switch to Rosalind, because in that moment, Rosalind, I'm going to your frustration. So something that came up as a frustration for you was invention. So in that moment where you had to, where if you were to have switched roles and it was on you to have to come up with the idea for what is next, that would have been terribly draining and probably super intimidating for you. Is that right?
Yes, I wouldn't even go there to start something out of nothing when we were going to have nothing and no income. And he's like, you know, I had this idea. And I'm like, this is the wrong time to have this idea. And he's like, no, but I really want to do this. And I'm like, oh, he's really excited about this. And he's a only child. He had two sisters that came along later, but he's always been this little kid that would go around, and he came up with a calendar and tried to sell it to his neighbors. He's like, he's always had these ideas.
Wow. He is an inventor. I love it.
Yes. He's always, and I'm like, and I feel like I've always been like party pooper. Like, no, I don't think you should do that. But then when we talked through it, I'm like, well, maybe this would work. And I do love to shop. So maybe this could work. I could shop for other people and not just me. So that's fun.
I love what you said when you said, you know, if you don't have invention, your solution to that was, no, you just need to go get a job, you know, like, let's not create something new. Let's just go get a job. I love that. So let me do your working geniuses then. So we have Tom as an IT, and I know I'm jumping around. I think this is probably an easier way because there's six letters, Pat. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is great. You know, Matt, who's our engineer, we're working on this project where we're trying to name each of the pairings. And for whatever it's worth right now, we call it the methodical designer is the IT. Like, they're good at design and figuring out new things, but they're pretty methodical. They're pretty processed. Like, they know it's really going to work. So that's Tom is our methodical designer and inventor.
How?
Does that sound like you said IT?
Yes.
That's awesome. Not IT like computers.
Internet technology. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
But invention and tenacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Rosalind, your two working geniuses on your side, you actually share one, which is tenacity. Both of you love pushing projects through to completion. Is that, as we described that resonates with you?
Mm-hmm.
You get joy and energy from that?
Absolutely, for sure.
So as a couple, you probably have no to-do lists that are not done. It just feels like you guys actually check everything off there.
You follow through.
There's always a million things to do, for sure.
There's always a to-do list that's work, always a constant to-do list. But I'm the type of person that writes things that I did do so I could check it off to show that I did it.
That is a hallmark T. My wife is a T. So if because she gets satisfaction from it, even if she's already done it, she'll draw it on the to-do list and check it off so that she can get that little endorphin hit for putting the check mark next to it. So that's that's great.
And by the way, I should say I have no T. Either does Cody Panathy. And so if somebody were to ask you to start a project, you guys, that couldn't be finished, that would probably give you angst. Am I right?
Yes.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like Cody and I are not angsted by that.
Really?
If the roles were reversed and we would come up with the idea for a store, and then there would be no store where you guys have a store. We would have never gotten. Okay. So Rosalind, you're a T, similar. And then the other genius that came up for you is the wonder, the genius of wonder. So you're sort of asking the questions and nuancing and kind of looking at the environment and saying like, is there something we could be doing? Is there more potential here? Does that resonate with you?
Your head is in the clouds. Kind of, you like to sit and ponder big things. Is that right?
Yes. And it's funny because I graduated journalism and my first job was NBC News in Cleveland. And I just love to ask questions all the time. I mean, and there's recordings that I'm the oldest in my family of me making my little brother and sister. I'm a reporter and I'm asking them a bunch of questions and it's really funny. But anyway, silly questions, but I love to ask questions. I don't know the answers, but I'm very curious. And that's what I love about owning a store is meeting people and finding out where they're from and how did they get to where they are and what are they doing here today? Or do you live here? Are you from here? And then in the beginning, I had to really tone that down because then they would leave without even looking at the store. So I've had to just keep that kind of down. Tom's like, we're really a store to open. Like we're supposed to sell things. So that's been kind of a hindrance, I think.
You know, it's the fact, Rosalind, that you just said that you love to ask people questions. You were curious. You're adjourned. That is the very trait of a person with the genius of wonder.
Oh.
And like you ask, you said, I don't always know the answers. But when you ask a question, Tom loves to figure out the answer.
And I don't always like his answers, but yeah.
Let's go directly to the frustration that you both share. Okay, so I think we can figure out the competencies in the middle. I think it's most interesting to say, hey, here's what you guys are really great at and what you love doing. And then here's the thing that actually is probably frustrating and draining for both of you. You guys both share the genius of galvanizing. So the idea of getting up and rallying people or pushing them out of their comfort zone, trying to motivate them towards action or inspire them to action. Both of you identify as people who don't like to do that and are drained by that. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
So if there's something that needs to be done and the person next to me isn't doing it, I just kind of jump in and I start working on it, whatever it is.
Right.
I have a harder time nudging somebody to go ahead and, you know, hey, you can do that.
That is exactly what a tenacious person, a person with tenacity would do with that lax G, even which is interesting because you're describing this as the owner of the store. You have staff there that you could probably galvanize to do that. But instead, because that is a frustration for you, you go right to, you know what? I'm just going to do this myself.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's really, this is such a light bulb moment because I'm thinking about it in terms of our sons too. And of course, our team members, it's like, we think it's easier, but we're not giving them a chance to grow by letting them do it, learning how to do something too.
Yeah,
we're just like taking it. We're like, we'll just take it. And that's not good. Even if they mess up, that's still not, we need to learn.
But what's great, Rosalind, is that you shouldn't feel guilty about that because what you're doing is you're naturally drawn to that. It's good for you to check yourself in that, but realize that you have a God-given tendency and that you get joy out of finishing things. So it don't feel like, gosh, I'm a terrible person for doing that. It's like, that's just who God made me. Now, sometimes we have to check that for the benefit of others, but just know that you're naturally really good at that.
Thank you.
And I think there is a tendency to, even as a leader or like a founder of a store, to have some guilt around like, oh, maybe that makes me less of a manager or so, you know, like I'd rather just do the task. And we talk about this all the time is it's not the leader's job to do all six of these things in a project. it's their responsibility to make sure that it gets done. And so there are people in the world who would be a great addition to your guys' team who love to galvanize and would love to actually be in that role to motivate the staff and make sure that you guys aren't always the ones doing things, but trying to push people and inspire them to do more.
Right. Like if you hired a customer service person and said, we're going to hire somebody with galvanizing, they're going to be a cultural fit, first of all. And I'm going to ask them to manage the other people that work here and their schedules and their performance and all those other things. So I can invent, we'll still do a lot of stuff in the store, but I don't want to have to like, you know, call people and say, you know, you did, you know, we were talking about this before, when you have to get people to do stuff they don't like to do, that drains you.
Yes.
I don't suggest you put yourself in a position to do what drains you every day.
Right.
Yep.
This is so good. Yes. I'm taking notes. I'm glad you have a notebook nearby.
She has a whole page of notes. That's amazing. So let's cover the last frustration that we have. And so, Rosalind, we did cover that invention is one of yours, right? So coming up with new ideas is not part of yours. And then galvanizing. And then, Tom, for you, it's galvanizing. And then the second frustration for you is enablement, which is what Pat described as sort of coming alongside and doing, helping out on other people's terms, you know, like, and it probably plays out like this. And I'm just guessing here, but you guys tell us if we're right. So let's say somebody comes to you and asks for your help. Your primary posture is going to be, actually, let me invent a different way for you to do this. I'm not going to just sit there and help on the way that you're asking me to help.
Or I'll just take it away from you and do it on my terms.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's him.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining, you know, just even the Pinewood Derby when I was volunteering for that. You know, I obviously somebody needed to fill that role and I was asked to do it. But I did change it quite a bit and how it all played out. So, and that's just one example of many. Yeah.
A friend of mine did Pinewood Derby and I would go over there with my sons. And he's the same type as you, Tom. Okay. IT. And we would stand around and watch him make it. Which was okay with me because I was terrible at it, but it was like, hey, I think the boys should be doing some of this. Let me just get this done.
Give me the hammer. Yes.
That's so funny.
So here's an observation we would have, or if we were talking to you about the way that your guys' types that you could use each other, right? Which is even so, think about your geniuses. You have Rosalind who has W and T, and Tom, you have I and T. So the good news is nothing is going to die on the vine in your store, right? Like you guys are going to make sure it gets done, whether you do it yourselves or otherwise. But one of the ways that would be really the sort of way that your guys' geniuses play together is really paying attention to Rosalind's W, you know, like in the store when she asks the questions like, hey, is there something we should be doing differently for the holidays? Or is there something different we could do online? Or what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, I think before we had the language of W, we would describe it as someone had like a yellow flag they were waving. Amy in our office would ask a question. But because we didn't understand how important W was, we sort of would like dismiss it a little bit. Like, oh, is that really a question we should pay attention to? But knowing that that's her genius, that's the way she's contributing to the store. And then you, Tom, what's great is the very next thing is you get to respond to that question with your genius of invention and say, I actually have an idea. What do you think about this? And then the two of you both have discernment as a competency, meaning that you can sort of evaluate what's the right way for us to go about this.
It's amazing. You're kind of describing the way that we've been working together for quite some time. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
You really are.
Yeah, you know, we talked about the labels for the two things. Yours, by the way, Rosalind, you have the two farthest apart. Because you're at Wonder, which is the very first one, which is the head way up at 50,000 feet pondering things. And then you go all the way down to the last one, which is tenacity, getting things done. And we call you, I don't know what the right words are, Matt. You might want to chime in here. But
it was the careful implementer, wasn't it?
Yes, the careful implementer. Mm-hmm. In fact, they sometimes can be kind of hesitant. Like they'll say, let's do it. Wait a second. I don't know. Yes. Is that the right thing to do? You know, totally. And you're laughing because you, and so, but 100%. It's just one of those things to keep in mind is that you go from 50,000 feet to 5 feet and back to 50,000 feet down to 5 feet, you know, and it's a wonderful quality if you understand, but it can cause you to have the bends. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like you go or a little nausea when the plane goes up and down, yes. up and down.
So true. So. It's so true. And I think about Tom, like he in our relationship, in our marriage, and in and as co-owners of the store, he like when I'm frustrated or when I'm like feeling like I recently went through a little health scare. And then I'm also doing other things as a mom. Obviously you've got a lot going on as a mom. And I'm also in a Bible study and I'm leading that. And I'm also in a mom's prayer group. And so it's just a lot going on. I used to volunteer a lot in the community, but I had to let go. So Tom, instead of like, he'll just, I'm going to take this from you. I'll do your parts at the store. And then we both get kind of, I get frustrated the way he did it. And he gets frustrated because he has more to do. But he yeah. is very good at just taking it from me. Yeah. And not really realizing.
Isn't that funny that most of the marriage struggles we have, my wife and I have no tea, either of us. You've met Laura. She's been in the sermon.
Yeah.
Neither of mm-hmm. us have tenacity. So we've had the power shut off at our house because we forgot to we didn't pay the bill.
Really?
That's never happened to you guys.
Really? No. Yeah. You just got solar power too, so it never happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the point is, yeah. so when I look at my wife and I like, we struggle sometimes because neither of us likes to do those things and poor Laura, she has to do more of it. But in your guys, like you said, Tom just takes it and says, I'll just do this for you. Well, mm-hmm. Laura and I are terrible at that. We're like, mm-hmm. I'm going to invent something or she's going to wonder and invent something. And so so often in a relationship, the thing that causes the issue is your working genius. It's not your intentions. And so I love mm-hmm. hearing this about you're like, he did it his way. Yeah, he's an IT. He's going to say, you have a problem. I'm going to figure out a better way to do it and I'll just get it done for you.
Yep. Yes.
And that's called love.
Yes. Yes. Love you, honey.
Love you, dude.
One of the things that we think is one of the best implications or like the results of doing working genius and understanding is like it prevents us from having unnecessary guilt around the things that we're not good at. So it's mm-hmm. okay to say, hey, you know what? We're not the best at, you know, Rosalind, for you, invention. That's okay. You're not wired that yeah. way. You can lean on Tom in a way that is completely gives him a joy and energy and fills him up. And then it also allows us to avoid unnecessary judgment of others. And so maybe you have an employee that doesn't have tenacity and both of you have a high value on tenacity. It can come across as that person is lazy or they're not, maybe they're a slacker. And really it is that they are naturally wired to do other things well and not to be great at finishing things. And so mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. as you guys are viewing your own, your relationship, your marriage, your store, your staff, it has some great implications for the way to look at, you know, hey, you guys are great at a number of things and we should celebrate that and then not feel unnecessary guilt about the things that we aren't naturally wired to do.
And that doesn't mean that employee is you got to keep them because you might need them to do that. But mm-hmm. what it does, it allows you to just look at it objectively and say, hey, I noticed that you don't have this. We really need somebody with this. And this isn't going to be the right job for you because I'm going to ask you to do things outside of your genius a lot. And I don't think that's going to be fun for you. Now, I would say one of the things I would do is I would make sure that somebody in my store, in your business, had galvanizing. You guys will be like, oh, that's so great.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. You don't have to be that person.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So if you are that person, I'm the venture.
I'm curious, just to wrap this up, like of the things that we talked about, what was like one aha that you guys had? Like, oh, was it a personal, professional, anything that you guys, as we walk through it, like this actually made a more of an impression for me?
Do you have an answer, Rosalind?
I was going to say just what Cody and Pat just said. I was like, can you repeat that? Because I want to take notes. I think we try to be all those things as business owners, because we're like, we're at, you know, the buck stops here. Like at the end of the day, we're in charge of paying the bills, taking care of our family. And we're like, and especially during the shutdown, that became super real, but that we can't do it all. That was very, that was very like, wow, we can't, and we can't expect people who don't have that as their strength to be just like me or Tom. So that was really like, wow, I need to just marinate that and process that for a little while. And that was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fantastic, like, infomercial for your assessment, because it really is amazing how much it rings true for me, you know, looking at what Rosalind's strengths are for her too. So a light bulb moment for me, golly, you know, I always assume that people are, you know, teammates and other folks in the world are kind of in the same mindset as me.
Yeah.
And I question myself, like, why aren't they doing it the way I would do it? Why?
Yes.
Why aren't they motivated by the same things that I'm motivated by? But having done this with you, I have a better awareness now of, you know, there's different skills, different strengths.
Yeah.
People have different weaknesses. So I get that. And I think that'll really kind of change how I approach other folks.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, hey, not everybody's like me, but it's even better when you can go, well, what are they like?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then you can actually understand them. You know, the prayer of St. Francis is to seek to understand more than to be understood. And if you can actually go, oh, that's what they're like, then you can actually love them in that way. And that might mean you can love them into a new job outside of your company, or you can love them into a new role within the store. But if you don't know who they are, it's hard to know how to actually practically love them.
Totally.
Yes. And that's what happens too at our store. Like, I become like the mom, because I love, honestly, everybody that comes into our store. They come into our home and they become like my other child. Would you say that, Tom? Then it's hard to be like a leader too, because you want to just make sure you shield and make sure that they don't, it's not too hard for them. And I lose sight of where I were there. So this has been really good.
You guys even treat your customers like that. I mean, like, we've become friends of yours. There's other vendors in the neighborhood that we're not friends with. But when we go to the store, you guys are like, what do you want?
Yeah.
We want to get you what you want.
Yes.
And that's why I'm going to say it again. Please do. I mean this sincerely. It's my favorite store in the whole world. Oh, if I moved to Alaska tomorrow, I would be buying everything on venturegoods.com. Because it's such a cool thing to see what you've put together. Unfortunately, they can't meet you guys and experience you. But even the merchandising you've done reflects all this. So venturegoods.com. I would love it if their website blew up.
Thank you. And yes, we do love our customers. Thank you. We do. We couldn't have done any of this without our customers. We love them. If we could give everyone a hug, I know it's not very the thing to do right now, we would. We used to before 2019, but yes.
Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for letting us pull you out of the store and do this with you. That was great.
It wasn't as painful as you thought it was. It wasn't scary.
No, thank you. We are so honored. Yeah.
A little bit. It was a little bit.
We're humbled and honored. Thank you.
All righty. God bless you guys. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
And so that brings us to the end of our podcast this time. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a blast. Tom and Rosalind are wonderful. And Cody, thank you. And we'll look forward to talking to you next time on our podcast about Working Genius. God bless.